Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today, we are going to continue talking about J.D. Salinger's The Catcher in the Rye. Last time, we talked about the author who died a couple of years ago at the age of 91. He only wrote one novel, and this is it, The Catcher in the Rye. And today we're going to try to talk about what exactly this book is all about, what it means and why you should read it.
Yeah, instead of talking about the plot or the story, we're going to talk about some of the meanings within the novel. You can have a plot that's very interesting, but usually there's some meaning that the author wants to convey and you're supposed to kind of guess at it. Sometimes it's more clear than other times. We're going to talk about what he meant by some of the things he wrote in the novel. And why, for heaven's sake, did he pick such a negative part for the lead character, or the protagonist, as we call them? This Holden kid was so negative. He seems to be kind of unhappy with life in general. But the reason why he used Holden is he was trying to teach us some things about life. That is Salinger himself.
And whether you get something out of this novel or not depends on you as an individual. I got a little bit of something out of it, but not a whole lot. But actually, I read it way back in college. Maybe I should read it again, and I would have a different interpretation of it. But in any case, let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire content of today's lesson right now, and then we'll come back to discuss it. The Catcher in the Rye is a novel filled with symbolism. Many of its topics were extremely controversial, so Salinger had to veil his meanings behind metaphors. The novel's main theme is the loss of innocence as children become adults. In many ways, Holden is an odd choice for a main character owing to his negativity. But a closer look reveals that his poor behavior stems from being frightened because, like most teens, he has trouble making sense of the world. Holden doesn't want to grow up to be like the adults he meets throughout the story. He considers many of them to be phonies. However, on his trip to New York, Holden indulges in many of the same activities he hates. Instead of facing these contradictions, he creates a fantasy world in his mind where he is a defender of childhood virtues. After hearing the lyrics to a song, Holden imagines that he is a catcher in the rye. He pictures himself standing in a rye field on the edge of a cliff, catching children before they tumble off. This is a metaphor for preserving the children's innocence before they learn about alcohol, sex, and other adult themes. Although the book was written over 60 years ago, contemporary adolescents still identify with Holden's thoughts and ideas about life.
So let's talk about the novel, The Catcher in the Rye, and some of the symbolism in the novel. Symbolism is the use of symbols to represent ideas or qualities. Sometimes we talk about how a white dove represents peace. It's a symbol for peace. So symbolism is a technique that writers use to convey their feelings about something so that it's not so obvious. Most authors actually aren't just writing good stories. They usually have some viewpoint about life that they want to share with their readers, but maybe in a more symbolic way.
Well, symbolism, of course, is an effective tool to convey your ideas. If you just come out and say things, sometimes it sounds boring. So if you get a little poetic and use symbolism to represent your ideas without actually telling people what they're supposed to mean, then the book can be interesting to read because there's that suspense. You don't know exactly why there are all these symbols in the book. Mm-hmm. So this book is filled with symbolism. And many of its topics were extremely controversial. Mm-hmm. So Salinger had to veil his meanings behind metaphors. I suppose back in 1951, it was very controversial for a 16-year-old boy to go looking for a prostitute. Lots of people at the time probably thought, We don't want to read that smut in a book like that. This book should be banned. It's terrible.
Okay, Tom, what is smut? S-M-U-T.
Just dirty things.
Yeah.
It could be dirty pictures or dirty stories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And those things are still kind of controversial. Something's mm-hmm. controversial when people have different opinions about that sort of thing. Controversies happen in society all the time. Like, I suppose something controversial would be the marriage age. What should be the legal age in which someone can get married? Or in the United States, something very controversial is gay marriage. Some people say, why not? What the heck? There are people in love. Let them get married. Whereas other people think, no. People have different opinions on a subject when it is controversial.
Well, in order to avoid being too controversial, he felt like he had to veil his meanings behind metaphors. If you veil something, it means you cover it slightly so you can't see it clearly. Now, when girls get married, we wear wedding veils over our faces when we walk down the aisle. And it's a very thin fabric that you can kind of see through a little bit, of course. Ooh. So that's a veil. But here we're using veil as a verb to say you're hiding things a little bit. Now, a metaphor is something that's used in English writing. It's a word or a phrase that you use, and it actually refers to something else. You're trying to show how things are similar. For example, a metaphor for work right now is Tom and I are drowning in work, means we have so much work. It's like we're drowning in the ocean. We can't breathe. The water just keeps getting higher over our heads. Those are metaphors, but it's very interesting when authors use metaphors because it is more poetic sounding and it's more interesting.
I suppose the most famous metaphor in literature would be Shakespeare's all the world's a stage and all the people are the players or the actors. Of course, the world is not a stage, but he's comparing the world to a stage and he's comparing people to being actors.
Uh-huh.
So that's what a metaphor is.
Yeah.
And so we've got all these symbols and metaphors in this book. And the novel's main theme or the main idea of the novel is the loss of innocence as children become adults. The loss of innocence, right? In this case, it refers to children. They're innocent, and they haven't gotten to the point in their lives where they have to be responsible for things. And, you know, they should live happy lives, free of conflicts and things like that.
Yeah, they haven't seen the bad side of life, you could say. They don't see a lot of people being killed or hurt. A lot of kids, they grow up being sheltered or protected from these things, and so they still are innocent about how the world really is. That there are evil people, there are wicked, bad people who try to hurt you on purpose. You know, when kids are growing up, their parents protect them typically.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still innocent. That's what we're talking about here. They want to keep these kids innocent. Well, here we're saying the main idea or the subject of the novel is how you can lose that innocence as you go from being a child or a teen into an adult. Things change and you realize you got to be tough in this world.
Mm-hmm. It's just not as simple as it used to be, getting presents at Christmas and having birthday parties and stuff like that. No, you got to go out there and compete with other people who will stab you in the back the first chance they get.
Yeah, or cheat you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or try to steal your girlfriend or get the job that you were promised or things like that. And so, yes, it's about the loss of innocence and about adolescence. And in many ways, Holden is an odd choice for a main character owing to his negativity. Owing to here just means because of. So, yeah, he's a strange choice to be the main character to talk about this theme of loss of innocence because he is so bitter. He is so negative. He always looks at the dark sides of things. And as you read this novel, yeah, it sounds like he's having a bad day basically every day.
Yeah, if you know someone who's negative, they might say, yeah, I know I'm going to fail this test. I don't know why I even try. You know, I study. It never helps. They never are very hopeful about life. Well, as Tom said, owing to is a preposition, and it means because of something. We both have a friend who walks with a limp. So when she walks, it's a little hard for her to walk on one leg because she was born with a bad leg. So she walks with a limp owing to that childhood injury or birth defect. So it's because of. That's simply what it means. Mm-hmm. Well, if you take a closer look, he's not really just negative. It reveals that his poor behavior stems from being frightened. So there is a reason why he is so negative all the time. If you reveal something, it's the opposite of veil. To veil means to cover up something, but to reveal means to make something known. Sometimes you should never reveal secrets that your friends tell you are private. You need to keep your mouth shut. Or maybe you can reveal something by showing something very clearly or plainly. Maybe sometimes you've heard people say, oh, it's very easy to tell how that person feels because their expressions on their face reveal their feelings inside.
Right. Oh, so indeed, he does look like a negative, bitter person at first, and you might think, boy, I don't feel sorry for him. But if you look closer, or if we have a closer look, it will reveal or show us that his negative, poor behavior stems from being frightened. If you're frightened, you're scared of something. And stem from here is a verb phrase. It means it is extending out from something. It is caused by something else. Think of the word stem as coming from a plant or a flower. You got these little parts that grow off the main stem. So to stem from means they come from this source.
Mm-hmm. Most of my colds stem from the fact that I'm around people who are sneezing and coughing on me all the time. So if it comes from or is caused by something, you can use that phrase, to stem from.
Or I could say that his success stems from him being such a hard worker.
My love of the outdoors stems from my father, not my mother. It's because my dad loves the outdoors as well. Okay, so some of the reasons why he's negative stem from the fact that he's frightened. He's afraid. He doesn't understand how the world is working. Most teens go through a period of life where, you know, they're just trying to find how they fit into the new world they're living in, and they're trying to make sense of the world. If you make sense of something, it means you're trying to understand it. If something makes no sense at all, it's not really logical or reasonable. So if you make sense of something, again, it just means you're trying to understand what's going on.
Right, and it can be quite confusing when you're coming of age or when you're losing your innocence. You want to make sense of the world because adults do so many strange things. Really mean people will suddenly do something nice, and really nice people will suddenly do something really mean.
True.
It doesn't make any sense. How can we figure this stuff out? And, of course, that can be very confusing for people coming of age. Well, Holden doesn't want to grow up to be like the adults he meets throughout the story, and he considers many of those adults to be phonies. A phony is somebody who basically doesn't do what they say they do. You could say that they're kind of superficial, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're
hypocrites.
Hypocrites, I guess you could say. Or they're just basically people you just don't want to believe at all because they're just not what they turn out to be.
Yeah, have you ever had a friend who is really nice to you when you're talking to them, and then you find out they said something really nasty about you to somebody else while you weren't around? That's being phony. And you can either be phony, which is the adjective form, or here we're talking about a noun form, a phony. Oh, he's a phony. You can use it both ways. We're going to talk more about how Holden sees the world, but right now we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi everyone, I'm Jenny. 今天我们还要再来探讨 The Catcher in the Rye 这本书。好，我们先看这里他说到了 The Catcher in the Rye， 它是一个什么样的小说呢？它是一本充满象征性的小说。Symbolism 讲的就是象征主义或者象征性。我们知道 symbol 是象征，而 symbolize I-Z-E 结尾就变成动词。好，我们再往下读，下面说到书里面呢，它有很多的主题，而且这些主题都是非常的 controversial。 controversial 就是具有争议性。那所以呢 Salinger 他要怎么样做，他就必须要 veil his meanings behind metaphors。 我们先看到 veil 这个动词， veil 当动词就是表示把它掩盖掩藏起来，好像遮了一层纱布纱巾一样，让它看不清楚。那后面一个 metaphor， Malefert 在文学用语里面代表的是隐喻、暗喻。好，再来，他说这本小说它的最主要的一个主题是什么呢？是提到小孩子长大成人之后，他就失去了原来的童真。那我们看到在很多方面来看，其实这个主角用 Holden 来做主角，这是蛮奇怪的，是一个很突兀的主角人选。好，我们看到 odd 这个形容词就是代表非常奇怪的、非常不一样的，或者说突兀的。为什么说它突兀？因为呢，它其实比较负面、比较消极。可是进一步来观察，我们会发现 Holden 他其实他那种 poor behavior 不好的行为，其实是 stems from being frightened。看到这个片语 stems from。Stem 当动词来用，后面再加一个 from 就表示源自于什么地方。那有另外一个片语可以取代的话，就是 results from， 它是来自于因为它被惊吓到了。而就跟很多年轻人一样，其实 Holden 呢，他没办法去了解这个世界。好，我们看到 make sense of 就相当于 understand。好，我们再往下读下面这一段呢，说到 Holden 这个主角不想成为像他所遇见的其他大人一样，因为他认为说大人都是什么，用到了一个字 phonies， phony， 这是他原来的字形，这个当名词来用就是骗子，虚假的骗子啊。如果说你把它当形容词也可以， phony 也可以做形容词用。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson now. Remember, we're talking about what the meaning of this book is. We talked about the fact that it's filled with symbolism and metaphors because so many of the ideas were controversial. And it's also about the loss of innocence. Holden Caulfield on the surface looks like a very bitter, negative person. But if you look more closely, he's just scared because he's trying to make sense of the world, and he does not want to be like the phonies that he meets everywhere. But on his trip to New York City, Holden indulges in many of the same activities he hates. So I guess from this sentence we could tell that he is a big hypocrite.
That's right.
He does all the things that he says other people should not do.
That is a great definition of a hypocrite right there. Well, if you indulge in something, it means you allow yourself to have something or do something that gives you a lot of pleasure, maybe that you should avoid. We use it also in a fun way. For example, if you're on a diet and you're always trying to eat healthy food, you know, sometimes you have to indulge. You have to indulge yourself. For example, if it's my birthday, I indulge myself and take the day off from work, and I go see movies and go shopping and eat anything I want.
You bet, to indulge yourself. And so he indulges in lots of these things, in alcohol, in prostitutes, maybe he even smokes as well. So he's indulging in all these things. And instead of facing these contradictions, he creates a fantasy world in his mind where he is a defender of innocence and childhood virtues. A contradiction is something that doesn't match up. You have one truth here, but then there's another truth over here, and they don't really match up. They are a contradiction. So, for example, if you say that I think people should not drink, it's really bad for you, but then that very night I head down to the bar and have myself a gin and tonic, that means I have a contradiction, or I'm in conflict, I'm being a hypocrite.
You really are. Well, instead of facing these contradictions and things that don't really make sense or match up, he creates a fantasy world in his mind. Sometimes when you're really unhappy with your own life, you spend a lot of time daydreaming or coming up with, you know, different ideas of what you would like your life to be, and you kind of spend your time in that little fantasy world. Some people escape by playing video games. In his fantasy world, he is a defender of innocence and childhood virtues. Virtues are things that are good moral qualities that people have in themselves, like being patient, Being a hard worker, those are virtues. Also honesty, being diligent, being obedient to your parents, those are virtues, and it's countable here.
It is countable indeed, and after hearing the lyrics to a song, he imagines that he is a catcher in the rye. We don't know exactly what song he's referring to here, but if you talk about the words to a song, you're talking about the lyrics. Sometimes when you want to know what a song is, you hear it on the radio, maybe you can listen to the lyrics and then try to remember some of the lyrics and then go on to Google and write those lyrics in as a search, and then you'll be able to figure out what song it is. I've done that many times with songs I liked but didn't know who the singer was.
Yeah, I have too. You're lucky that nowadays we have Google. You can actually look up lyrics to a song. When Tom and I were growing up, sometimes the recording artist wouldn't put the lyrics on the CD or the album, so we had to guess what they were singing. And even though it was in English, not all singers were very clear with their English. Mm. So that was kind of fun. Well, he paints himself, or pictures himself, standing in a rye field, a field where rye or grain is grown. And he's on the edge of a cliff, and he's standing there. Children are running towards him, and he catches them before they can tumble off the cliff. Now, if they tumble off, it means they fall off. You can be riding your bicycle and tumble off your bicycle by having a little crash. You can fall down suddenly and quickly. That can be tumbled down. You can tumble down on the ground, tumble off. If you tumble off, you're on something to begin with and then come off of it.
Right, to tumble off. That reminds me of tumbling back in fifth or sixth grade. Uh-huh. We weren't big enough for gymnastics, so we did tumbling, which is like doing somersaults and cartwheels and stuff like that. But here, yeah, he's kind of protecting those children, so there you have it. There's the catcher in the rye, the protector of children. So this is a metaphor for preserving the children's innocence before they learn about all those bad things in life like alcohol, sex, and other adult themes. So if you want to preserve something, you want to save that thing. For example, people preserve vegetables. Uh-huh. They put them in glass jars, I guess, with the special mixtures of water and salt and stuff like that. And then you can preserve those vegetables for a long time. You can eat them like a year or two later.
You can also preserve old buildings that are historical, that have been around for a long time, by keeping them in good condition. You can preserve things by keeping them safe from being hurt. Maybe you have some really valuable items like antiques, which are old pieces of furniture that you want to preserve. You keep them in good condition. Well, he wants to help preserve the children's innocence before they finally have to go into that adult world. Now, although the book was written over 60 years ago, contemporary adolescents still identify with his thoughts about life. Contemporary here means the kids that are now currently teenagers. So contemporary means in today's time, happening right now. So teenagers today still identify with Holden's thoughts and ideas. You could also write it like that. So identify with something, it means you relate to it. You can kind of see what he's trying to say. Maybe you've been through similar experiences. If you have good friends, you always relate with each other. You know, you don't hang out with people you don't relate with or identify with.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yes, this is an old book, but if you're young and you're 15, 16 years old and you pick up this book, yeah, it's a 60-year-old book, but you might think, hey, I can really relate to that guy. Maybe I'm not as negative or bitter as he is, but I can still understand some of the things that are troubling him, like figuring out the world. It doesn't make any sense. Adults are phonies and hypocrites. They always do the things they tell us kids not to do.
Yeah,
so,
true.
This could be a book that could help you make sense of the world, and we certainly hope you can. But if you can't do that, then at least learn some English with us as we continue our program next time. So until then, I guess we're going to say goodbye, but we're going to first listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll say goodbye.
好，我们现在继续来看这个文章。 这边提到Holden眼中其他大人其实都是骗子。不过我们知道他后来Holden他到纽约去度假。那Holden在那里的时候呢，他自己呢沉迷于许多他所讨厌的憎恶的这些同样的活动里。 indulge 这个动词，我们注意一下哦，这代表是沉迷。好，接下来下面又说，他其实到纽约，然后沉迷在那些他讨厌的事物上的时候，他并没有去面对这些 contradictions。 contradictions 就是指矛盾的事情。那相反的呢，他是创造了他心里面的一个幻想的世界，而在这个世界里头，他就是孩童德性的守护者。好，我们看到句构上，在 a fantasy world in his mind 后面我们接了一个 where。 好， where 这个字很有趣的，我们常常考所谓的关系副词，但是每一次在考关系副词的时候就要想想为什么，因为用关系副词是在这里表示In that world, in the fantasy world. 好， Holden 呢，他听了一首歌的歌词之后，他想象自己呢是麦田当中的捕手，其实这也就是书名的来由。我们先看这边，他又说 He pictures himself, picture, 这个 picture 当动词来用，就是想象。他想象他自己呢就站在一片的麦田当中，而且这个麦田就靠着悬崖。那在这个悬崖边的这一片麦田里头，他为什么会想象自己站在那里呢？后面就说，因为在那里他是要去接小孩子们， catching children before they tumble off. Tumble off 就是跌下，跌出这个悬崖，换句话说从悬崖上掉下来。那这个当然是很有意思的，他这种也是一种隐喻，一种暗喻，他就是告诉你他在那里好像就是要怎么样，要保存这些小孩子们的纯真，他不要让他们掉到悬崖下，不要让他们成为大人那种骗子。好， preserve 就是保存保留。我们再往下看，那什么叫做大人的世界，这个纯真让他们不要去接触 alcohol 酒 sex 性，还有其他这种大人的主题。那在这本书来说，他其实60多年前就已经写了，可是到今天的现代的青少年们，他们还是会认同 Holden 这个主角对生活的思维跟理念。看到这个单字 contemporary， contemporary 是一个形容词，就表示当代的，我们有时候后面呢会加别的名词，像你说 contemporary art 就是表示当代的艺术。好，那这边后面还有另外一个偏语 identify with， identify with somebody or something 就表示去认同。
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us and come back soon for English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
Goodbye.
Bye.